Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I'll be starting to read some etymological articles where I look at a word and try to uncover more about the word. And I kind of develop a story narrative, sort of, sometimes, to try to give bigger, more depth, more interconnected understanding with aspects of reality. So I've already done it with articles like matter, on the word matter. And here's another one on analogy, balance, and things in between, words in between that I found related. And I'm just going to describe them. This was published on the 4th of November, 2014. This was also part of my more in-depth learning of the Trivium method and modalities of consciousness and thought. As analogy is a basic form of comparison and using a prime ratio, a 1-to-1, you have to at least compare one thing to another. So we use one thing and reference it to another, and that's how you have metaphors and similes and allegories, where you use something in reality, but you're going to use that one thing in reality as an analog to something else you're trying to explain. So it's using imagery in your mind to relate to things using one thing as the common base. You're going to use aspects of one thing to explain aspects of a second thing. So it's always a 1-to-1, or you can have a 1-to-1-to-1 or 1-to-2. But the most basic one is a 1-to-1 analogy. Usually it's just one thing to one thing. So this was started as research, but it developed into another journey to talk about, like my uncovering of matter. If you want to see how etymology can help uncover understanding of reality, such as an aspect of how natural moral law functions that I used as an example, then join me on this adventure in discovery. I had fun making these connections. So, yeah, it is fun. When I did the matter one, that was fun. I uncovered a lot, this one too, and all the other ones. I always uncover more about reality through the etymology of the words. Alright, so analogy. Ana plus logos. And it means according to ratio, from the Greek analogia, which is a proportion. From ana, upon, according to, and logos, as in ratio. So in the meditation article in the mind, heart, left and right brain, that's about thoughts as well, and I've mentioned an etymology on thought and logos, how it relates to ratio. And after this article, I also have other articles on etymology, and at some point I do one on words, reality, and proportion, which has to do with ratio. Since I mentioned at the beginning, analogy uses prime ratio, 1-to-1, which is what cause and effect is based on, is a 1-to-1 ratio. That's the first ratio. That's why it's called the prime ratio, because it's 1-to-1. It's not 1-to-2, which is a half. It's not 1-to-3, which is a third. It's not 3-to-4, which is 3/4. It's not 2/3. It's 1-to-1. Now, this is a preview for what's coming up in my causality, but if you have 1-to-1, it's 1/1, and that equals 1. So you have unity. The duality is the first part of the unity. So you have a 1-to-1, a cause and effect, and that's one system. So the duality of the 1-to-1 is actually 1, because 1-to-1, 1/1, 1 divided by 1 equals 1. So it's also the prime ratio for that reason, because it comes back to 1. That's part of one system, a 1-to-1 reciprocal nature of just cyclical iterations, and it keeps going over and over. When we make an analogy, we make a comparison between two things and determine a relative proportionality, a ratio of similarity and difference that can be imprinted as a pattern. This pattern of correspondence of analogy can be seen in other things as they are compared to each other. Sometimes this evidence points to unseen laws. So, the dualist conceptual framework that I came up with. Well, what does that deal about? Well, it deals with comparisons in the similarity and difference in the correspondence, hence ratio and proportionality, one thing compared to another, and where does it fit on a spectrum? So related to this is ratio, rational, reason, logic, truth, thought, thinking, contemplation, concentration, meditation, reflection, logos, and measure. So see the previous articles I have here on the etymology of meditation, on the thought etymology in meditation article, and the definition aspect in the mind and heart, left and right brain. And there's more elaboration on how thought is equated with meditation and contemplation and concentration, which is true meditation, not the bastardized, conventional, altered meditation of inner feel-good states. It's all reflection and logos, the word, rational, reason. You're being rational and reason about the truth. Someone who's reasonable and rational. You don't say that about someone who's a liar and spreads falsity. So inherently rational and reason has to do with truth. And rational and reason comes from ratio. And logos, logic, is related to ratio. Logos and speaking. Speaking is about, you're speaking about reality, which is always one thing in relation to another, in relation to another, in relation to another. Everything is interrelated, even though they're all individual identities. Separate from each other, there is relation. So you have proportions and ratio, logic, logos. You measure things. You compare them. So everything's related. This is all has to do with consciousness. All the work I do has to do with evolving our consciousness by coming into greater attainment of truths about reality, and the most important of those truths is morality, so that we can actually live rightly, to create rightly. In order to understand morality in more depth of accuracy and understanding, you need to go into more depth of reality and understanding reality. And as you understand reality, your understanding of morality will improve as well, because you will see things as they are. You'll be able to use ratio and rational and reason and logic and thought and thinking and to measure things out and see where morality does apply and where morality does not apply and how morality works objectively. To continue, the word proportion relates to relation, measure, compare, division, and parts. It's a due relation of one part to another, also size, extent, comparative relation in size, degree, number. And this comes from part, which is a share or portion, to assign, grant, allot, to get in return. And I did this etymological breakdown in a recent article on part. Oh, that was on falsity and evil. Yeah, where I had participation, and I explained participation. I even said how the word part has very good etymology to it to describe what participation is. So if you want to see that etymological breakdown on part as it relates to participation, then check out the audio video article on falsity and evil. So the part, get in return, reward, granted, similar to correspond and correlate, you bring something back. Something granted, it's a return, it's an assign, grant, allot, share, portion. So from there I went to correlation, since we're already at corresponding and correlatings with analogy. Well, in proportion it just shows it even more, how there's correspondence and correlation involved in the description of the words. See, reciprocally, reciprocal. As I just mentioned before, with the one-to-one ratio, cause and effect, it's all reciprocal. You see how reality ties into itself? The more you uncover about words that describe reality, the more you're going to understand how words interconnect to reference each other and correspond each other in order to describe reality accurately. Etymological discovery is pretty fascinating. I find it fascinating anyways. Other people might find it very boring. But that's how I'm able to increase my understanding of the words and language I use to represent reality, because that's what the purpose of language is for, It's to represent reality, to communicate about reality. So if your words are not proper, then your communication about reality will not be proper. Your words have to reflect a proper understanding of reality. Correlation, relating together. That's what it means. We have relation, co-relation, relating together. I believe it comes from con or com, the basic like compassion, compare, all the com and con is usually together with. So relation together. Then we look at the word relation. Well, relation is a connection, a correspondence, a bringing back, restoring, a report, a proposition. And then we look at relate from relation. To relate is to recount, tell, refer, report. From re, back again. And then latus, carried, born. So you carry back again. You're born back again. It's from one thing to another, right? We're correlating. We're making a correspondence. We're creating a connection. It's a relation together from one thing to the other. It's a co-relation. So you're carrying back one thing to the other. From one thing to the other, and you carry it back to the first thing, and you have a correlation. From one thing to the other. Carried back. And latus is used as a suppletive past participle of fare. Fare, to bear. So, you know, Lucifer, light bearer. Well, the same thing in suffer from compassion. It's all about bearing. Carrying. We'll get into that later, in later etymological breakdown. So, latus originally comes from telatos, Proto-Indo-European telatos, and then tele. So, tele to telatos, and then latus, and it relates back to fere and bear. So, Proto-Indo-European tele is to bear and carry. So we're going back to correlatus, you can say. So co, together, relatus, to bear and carry back again between the two things you're comparing, correlating, corresponding. It's a, you know, it's a report. You're bringing back and reporting one thing to the other. Next is refer. Since correspondence, correlation, referring, you know, it's pretty similar. So refer is to trace back to a first cause, an attribute, and a sign. So from one thing refers to another, so you're tracing back. So it is a form of correspondence and a correlation. So refer, again in the word fer, is, as we looked at correlation, fere, to bear. So right in the word refer is re, bear. So re, back, and fer, carry. Or bear, to carry or bear back. So we see trace back to a first cause. So you're carrying back, you're going from one thing, and you're carrying or bearing back to another. To carry back, you're bringing it back, you're bearing back. So it's a specific direction. You know, correlation and correspondence might not have a specific direction, but when you look at refer, they're telling you, In it's to trace back to a first cause, so there's a definite order. In a correlation, you can set one as the first and or the other one as the second, or vice versa, and switch them up. But you're still going to be going back and forth. But refer seems to more state back to tracing back. You're referring to something else. It's still a correlation and a correspondence. And infer, it's to bring into, carry in. So rather than back, it's going in. You're carrying it in. So deduce, infer, conclude, draw an inference. You're bringing it against. From in and fair, carry and bear again. And that's from the Proto-Indo-European bear. So you can see where bear comes from, is to bear, to carry, to take. So when you bear something, when you carry it, well, it's in your possession. You're grasping it, you're holding it. We'll get into the etymology for hold and grasp. and ownership and things like that. But when you're bearing something, when you're carrying it, it's actually on you. So you're taking it, you're carrying it in. So that's why I deduce and infer. When we're inducing instead of deducing, induce is going from the particulars to the universals to find the general concept. When you have the general concept, you can verify it through the particulars to see if it's accurate, and then that general universal applies to all particulars if it is indeed true. So we're bringing it in. We're bringing in a universal into the particulars, if you want to look at it and tie it into logic and understanding that way. Next, we have correspond. So responding together. You know, we had relation, correlation, which was a relation together. We'll co-respond instead of co-relate, co-relation. Well, co-respond is together respond instead of together relate. A relation together, this time it's a responding together. So you pledge back, you promise in return. Ultimately, it comes from the Proto-Indo-European root of spond, and that comes from spondee, correspond, from respond to spondee, and then it comes from the Proto-Indo-European root of spend. So when you spend, you make an offering. So one thing is corresponded to another. You can look at it as it's a pledged back. It's a promise of return. It's corresponded. There's a correspondence. So it's a bit different than correlate, because you have the aspect of a promise in return and a pledge back, something spent. Correspond. An automatic relation, one thing follows the other. Cause and effect, prime ratio, 1:1. Cause and effect works reciprocally. A correlated, corresponded, proportional ratio will connect two things. As one is output, it causes and reciprocates a return in energy as an effect. The next word is reciprocate. That's from reciprocar or reciprocare. I don't know how to pronounce Latin too well. It's probably reciprocare, which means rise and fall, move back and forth, reverse the motion of. And from reciprocus, so reciprocate comes from reciprocal, Latin reciprocus, returning the same way. So it's related to rhythm, cause and effect. So if you think of the Hermetic laws, you have polarity, so you can look at cause and effect, and you can maybe look at that as a gender, as two things, and they correspond, they correlate, there's a proportion, a ratio. They rise and fall, move back and forth like a rhythm. So, returning the same way, alternating, it's from back and forward. It just goes back and forward, back and forward. So, re, and then procus. Re is back, like respect and refer, a bunch of re-words. It's back. And then procus means forward, so back and forward, back and forward. That's what reciprocating things do. That's what cause and effect does. So you see how all these words relate so far? That's etymological discovery to uncover reality. So from correlate, relate, refer, and infer, there is extol that also relates to carrying or bearing, since to raise something up requires the bearing of it in your hands. So if you're extolling something to lift it up, well, it's in your hands if you're lifting it up. So again, you're bearing it and carrying it. So extol is to lift up, from the Latin extollere, to place on high, raise, elevate. So you're placing it up. So from ex up and tolere to raise. And again, from Proto-Indo-European, tele, to bear or carry, which we saw tele in the word correlation. So again, correlation had to do with bearing. This is again bearing, it's bearing up, you're rising above. There are cognates to tele, carry, and bear, relating to tolere, to raise. So tolerate. So you can immediately see the word tolerate, tolère, and in French, you tolerate something. It's tolère. See, it all comes from the Latin, because the Latin-based languages like French and English and Spanish have a common root in Latin. So you see, tolere, to raise, from the root tele, to bear and carry, which relates to, was correlate? Yeah, correlate, relates to correspond. All these words relate. That's why when I'm doing these etymological discoveries, it goes from one word to the other to the other, because they are related. I'm not bringing words that have no relation to each other and trying to relate them. Maybe sometimes I do that with different types of words as respective of one aspect of reality, say animals, and I'll take different words that represent animals and see if they represent animals or if they represent other things, and how we can properly understand what animals are and how humans fit into animals and how we're not plants. You know, it's very easy to see with your eyes, but people have a hard time being honest with themselves and using their senses properly. So they tell themselves lies and believe whatever they want. Now plants feel pain, and plants feel, and plants are just like animals. People don't understand reality, they don't understand metaphysics. So tolère, you tolerate, from tele, to bear and carry. Doesn't it make sense when you tolerate something? To tolerate, to bear support, to bear or support. Yeah, you tolerate good, or you can tolerate evil. That's the point I'll be getting at into bearing good and evil when I get into compassion, sympathy, and empathy. It all has to do with bearing, with tolerating. But you don't want to tolerate it forever, and we'll bring it back to correspond, where you pledge back and promise in return. We have to correspond the evil we bear, or else we're going to be bearing it and tolerating it for evil, and it will exist forever. That's in the next article. I'm just hinting at that. I'll get there in probably three to four more etymological breakdowns, and then I eventually have my one on bearing good and evil. So to continue from tolerate to bear and support, other cognates relate to balance, talenton, a balance, pair of scales. So why are we getting into balance here? Well, talenton, tolerate, when you put on a scale, on a balance, there's a pair of scales, right? One scale and another. Well, again, we have a one-to-one ratio. We have a proportion. You're measuring, again. You go into measurement. If you go into the meditation article and the definitions and the etymology and thought, it's your measuring. That's what scales and balance are for. So when we think of, you know, you can even go into ma'at scales, where we balance our hearts, which are representative of our care, whether we have true care and whether our deeds are in alignment with that care, or how corrupted our care are, because the heart represents the deeds in the end. It starts with our desires in the heart and the care, and then we create our world and what we do in ourselves. Who we are, how we represent ourselves, our being is represented through what we do, which ultimately comes from what we care about. Do we care about having sex all the time? You want to masturbate all the time? You want to do drugs all the time? You want to drink beer all the time? You want to watch sports all the time? You want to entertainment all the time? Watch movies, listen to music, go to party, go to music concerts? What do you do with your time and attention? So what did you create? What world did you create as a result of your desires and your care in your heart? That's on one side, weighed against the truth, which is the ostrich feather of Ma'at, representative of truth, and one way, and it's light. So if you're just like, if you go back to my other audio on unity is based in morality, true unity is based in morality, you'll see the chart of how unity and truth, how morality and truth are dependent in order to create true freedom, true peace, and true morality. True unity, I mean. It's true. You need truth and morality in order to create unity, peace, and order, and freedom. And my diagonal lines are the weight. if you have the weight of evil, of immorality and falsity, it bears, it weighs you down, and you end up in the negative part. But if you have truth and morality, it's light, like a feather, right? And the feather is a bird in the air. Air is light. That's why the air element is on top and the earth is on the bottom, which I'll be getting into in my natural law, which will probably upset a lot of people who are attached to astrology and other symbolic reference systems, which were altered from the original source system that I'll be explaining. So you have air and the feather above and light, and that's what truth is. Truth represented as in the sky, the sun is in the air in the sky. That's all air, it's all truth. And the light, the star is the light in the sky. So truth and morality makes you light and it brings you up, whereas falsity and immorality brings you down. It weighs you down. So when you're in the scales and your heart and you're full of immorality and falsity in your creation, how you created your life, well, that's going to weigh you down and you're not going to match up to truth, wisdom, and justice. You're not going to match up to truth and justice. And there you go. You put yourself in hell. See, because we judge, offend, and insult ourselves by our own actions. No one else does it to us. We do it all to ourselves. We are our own worst enemies. So, talenton, balance, pair of scales. You have one thing compared to another. Comparison, measurement, balance, scales, ratio, proportion. See, it all relates. Balance has nothing to do with balancing out good and evil. I've talked about this on the falsity and evil. I went into rants about it. Balance has to do with balancing out. In this case, you want to align yourself with truth. So that's the real kind of balance. You want to make yourself into the one way. It's not about balancing yourself so that you have equal amounts of good and evil and all this other bullshit pseudo-spiritual retard conceptions that people come up with because they don't look into reality to see if it makes sense. Oh, balance, that's the purpose of life. It's all about balance. Oh, you're divisive. You're picking one side of good or evil. It's all experiences are valid. So much of that bullshit going around everywhere. It's unbelievable. So the real kind of balance in terms of good and evil is knowing good and evil. You have to balance out the knowledge of good and evil so that you don't live in an optimism bias and a positivity mask of thinking, oh, everything's good, I'm only good, and because you're ignorant of evil. No, you have to know falsity and evil. You have to know good and evil. You have to know right and wrong. You have to know truth and falsity. And then that's the balance you need, is the balance between the two so that you can choose the right way to live in that one way, in perfect balance and equilibrium, where your heart, desires, and care, and actions, and deeds that manifest from that actually weighs out and measures to truth and morality. That's how you become the true self. That's how you reborn yourself. You keep measuring yourself with truth and morality. See, this is the afterlife, right? I'm getting ahead of myself there, but I'm going to explain it because it's just coming to my mind. So this is for the afterlife, right? You're going to balance yourself for the afterlife symbolically. Remember, this is all symbols. And then later on, it gets degenerated into literal interpretations where, oh, well, the heart, the Egyptians later on degenerated in their symbolic understanding. And, oh, well, the heart was the actual seat of consciousness. And then, oh, well, the weighing actually happens. This is real weighing. And there's actual gods that are weighing your actual heart. And they're weighing it actually against the feather, and you're actually going to go into the afterlife. No, this is symbolic of the afterlife, where you can continuously reborn yourself. You continuously be reborn as a phoenix from the ashes. You can rebirth yourself through the canal. And this ties into my matter article, Matter, Mother Nature, which is reality. So whatever's in reality is the truth. So you align yourself with the truth. Damn it, I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah. You align yourself with truth, which is the feather, so that you can live in the afterlife. You can be reborn anew to be alive, because to be in the earth, dead in the coffin, asleep, blind, there's no light and there's no heat, so it's cold and it's blind and it's dead in the earth, in the lower element. So you want to go to the air, the sky, where there's light and the sun and the heat, or truth and justice. And that's how you're reborn from your deadened, stupid, lower self, living a false self. You can continuously be reborn into another afterlife. Boom. This is why you're alive from being dead. You're alive. You're reborn. You're finally on the spiritual journey. You're alive. Out of the coffin, out of the tomb. You're alive. You're living. Well, what's that? Weren't we already living, but we were in the coffin? So this is an afterlife for us. Once we wake up from the coffin and the tomb, that's the afterlife. And every time we wake up to a new level of awakening, that's like another level of an afterlife. Even though we're still, there's the initial afterlife of waking up out of the tomb and the coffin, but you can continuously burn yourself, destroy yourself, and be reborn anew like a phoenix, rebirthing yourself in the multiple, many, many, many levels and grades and degrees to graduate up and up and up, to reborn, to rebirth, reawaken, an afterlife, to become more and more alive, to reach successive levels of the afterlife, to become more and more alive, and that is actualizing more degrees of what is truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, true self, higher self, higher will. You actualize more of that. So I hope this is making more sense to whoever's following my work from the beginning until now. You know, I have a lot of understandings in my mind and my consciousness about reality, but I can't express everything all at once. I can't get it all out at once for everyone to understand everything that I understand. So, you know, I do a progression. I do but the things I understand, and I gain more understanding as I do etymological work. I gain even more understanding, more clarity of reality. This is evolving consciousness. The more aspects of reality, the more correspondences you make, the more connections you can make, the more interlinking aspects of reality, the particulars you can make, the more of the universals you can see through piercing the veil of reality, through the particularized manifested physicality, and you can see the metaphysical, what lies behind the deeper aspects of being that are tied to particularized aspects of being manifested in reality. Where you gotta correspond things, and this creates more connections, and you have more pattern recognition. And the more patterns you recognize, the more pattern recognition you have to recognize even more patterns, even more interconnection. And this helps to create, to build up that big picture, so that you can see the divine pattern, how everything fits together. And it's not all a harmony. Things are conflicting everywhere. I've mentioned that in another article. The harmony is that things are what they are. That's the harmony. And then as you understand things as they are, then you can understand the relation, the relative position of everything else along a spectrum, such as good and evil or truth and falsity. And you can see where the variability, multiplicity, and diversity of existence, reality, and universe fits in. All right, let's continue with the article. I think that was enough of a rant on balance. So we have talenton, balance, pair of scales, relating as a cognate to tolerate and teler and tele from extol. Because what happens in a balance, if it's not out of balance too, you can think of it this way. When the two things are bearing, but one's heavier than the other, then one's going to be raised up. It's going to be raised up above the other. I'm just mentioning that just as another symbolic imagery. I'm not sure it relates specifically to what I'm trying to say, but I'm just mentioning it right now. It just came into my head. So Atlas is the bearer of heaven. And Lithuanian Tiltis is a bridge, and Sanskrit Tula is balance. So you can see how they relate. You have Atlas, Tiltis, Atla, I guess, I don't know how that's going to relate. Anyways, these are the cognates in the etymology. I'm just relating to things, different words that relate to bearing. So you had extol, Atlas, who extolled, and he was the bearer of heaven. And then you have bridges. So yeah, And when you make a correspondence, a correlation, you're bridging things. When you're balancing things, you're bridging them in a way. So you see how words relate? It's pretty amazing. For the bearing and supporting, to carry, bear back, something is received, then given back. Since we have it, we have to bear it, and carry it back. To simply bear something and carry it forever may not be a good thing. So that's hinting at my future work that I'll be getting at on bearing evil and good. So we have to bear it back to be given back. If you want to know more about that, before going to the bearing good and evil, check out falsity and evil in order to understand how this works, how minus one is created, and how we can create plus ones or send back the minus one to nullify it. And I've quantified good and evil is what I've done in order for us to understand it realistically and how this works in our reality. And that's in falsity and evil. There's like 4 or 5 articles and audio videos with me elaborating on falsity and evil and good and evil. So it's very edifying if you haven't done the time, taken the time to look into etymology and contemplated reality to the depth that I elaborate and explain in those articles. To continue, this relates to cause and effect, a component of natural moral law. Toleration is not something to seek in regards to evil, immoral actions, wrongdoings. To bear with the effects of evil is to let evil continue unchallenged. If we do nothing, it will only get worse. Cause and effect involved rhythm, and in a way polarity and gender, since they are two things. Well, that's what the description I was making above. An effect happens due to a cause. The effect can then become stimulus to cause other effects, as effects interconnect and correlate with the environment they are produced in. Things relate to each other. One thing can lead to or cause another and another, etc. In the position of effect reception to potentially create a cause from that stimulus input, you cannot simply bear the negative consequences, those wrongdoings and evil, and certainly not to perpetuate the cycle by outputting evil yourself. So you don't want to bear it, and you certainly don't want to perpetuate what you're bearing and create more of the same. The effect needs to create an appropriate response. Our ability, responsibility, is to bear back the energy and remove the evil around us, not to simply bear it forever. Make sense? We cannot hold on to evil. You cannot just tolerate it and be a doormat in the imbalanced feminine mode of being a slave consciousness. We're just going to tolerate it forever. You're never going to stand up for yourself. You're never going to act and stand up for justice and what is right and do what is right and say no. You're just going to keep letting every evil walk all over you and everyone else around you forever. We need to rechannel and reorganize the corruption of our reality into one of truth and morality so that we can live in the sanity of coherence, integrity, consistency, unity, and harmony, which is, again, all based on morality, an aspect of truth. It seems bearing, not bearing back, but bearing, carrying forever, tolerate, and balance are related. Balances carry things, but do they carry them forever? Now I would just like to say that balances, well, they fluctuate. You take one thing and you weigh it against another, and then you take something else and compare it. So there's always, it's not supposed to carry it forever, because you're weighing it and then you go on to something else. Or you weigh it, you change something, and then you weigh it again. And then you change something, and then you weigh it again. And that's self-improvement. That's alchemy, which is why I was saying the care and the desire of our hearts, which leads to our actions and deeds, we can always reshape that and reformulate. We can take our heart off the scale, work on ourselves, alchemy, natural law, trivium method, improve ourselves, and then we can, oh, well, let's see where we are again. Let's compare ourselves to truth and morality, and let's see, okay, we're improving. We're improving. And we're bettering ourselves. We're bettering ourselves. So you take it off and you weigh it again. It's not, you don't carry the evil forever in your heart and in your care and desires and deeds and actions. That's not what you're supposed to do. When you create it, that evil into existing, you're creating the force into existence as a causal agent. So it's a plus one to evil. We need to use the sword of truth and morality as a minus one to poke back evil and destroy it. So if you send back the minus one to the plus one of evil, so five people are creating one evil action or whatever, it's a force of plus five, then you send back that evil and destroy that force of evil. You stop the person from doing it in some way or whatever. You end that evil from being created. You reciprocate it. You redress the wrong. And then the force of evil gets pushed back down from a plus five down to a plus four because you're striking back at it. You're sending back the evil. So you're not supposed to carry it forever. So when you're fixing yourself, you're fixing the evil in your care and your desires, in your deeds and actions as a result of those, and you're removing, this is alchemy, you're removing the evil, you're dissolving the evil. You're taking the sword of truth and morality, and you're cutting yourself with it. You're chopping yourself up with the sword of truth and morality, and you're getting rid of the evil, and you're sending it back. Because if you're not creating the evil, if you're not adding the plus one force of evil into creation, in whatever specific action, well, then you're not creating that plus one force. And what happens to evil? Well, it goes down by the plus one force because you're no longer generating the plus one force for evil to exist, for evil as a force to be. I'm not calling it a literal force with its own mind and whatever. Go look at my other work and you'll eventually understand. I'm not going to repeat everything. That's one thing I haven't mentioned before. I don't like to be repeated to, and I don't like to repeat things. So I try to keep things related to what I'm talking about and try to not repeat as much as I can. Or else I could turn every audio into a 10-hour audio and talk about the same things over and over. So that's why there's a one-to-many relationship where I only have to speak once, put it into an audio, and whoever wants to listen to it, well, they can actually take the time to go through the work that I've done, and the many articles and the many audios and videos I've done, and learn what I've said. To expect me to repeat things over and over is irrational. Well, then be a broken record and repeat the same thing until you die and see if that's effective. No, it's not effective. You have to keep moving on. And the people who want to catch up, it's their personal responsibility to go learn the truth themselves. You've already spoken it? Yeah, you put it into a file? Well, then why would you have to repeat what you said a million times and waste your time and energy and attention doing something a million times when you've done it once and once is enough for other people to understand? That's how learning should work. That's how maximizing our time, energy, effort, dedication, determination, and persistence works. Those who already understand, well, they keep going and understanding, and they keep teaching other people. They've already explained it. The people who want to learn have a responsibility to go find that information and learn from it. You know, you don't start at podcast 100 from Passio and say, well, ooh, Passio, you better explain everything to me. I don't want to go listen to your 99 other podcasts. Well, then go be a retard if you want to and live like that and expect everyone else to do the work for you. No, if someone has already explained something, then go read their book or find their audio where they've already explained it. Why would they have to repeat it to you? That's the way I see it. If I've done the work, I'm not going to go repeat to every Tom, Dick, and Sally on Facebook who asked me a question. I don't engage people. I have my comments disabled on YouTube. Because the level of consciousness people are at is a waste of my time. My time is more effectively spent teaching others what I know than trying to get people who don't want to learn to accept what I have to teach. If you don't want to accept it, whatever. I got better things to do than waste my time trying to nail some truth and morality into a low base consciousness that doesn't want to accept it. When you're ready to accept it, well, go learn. My work is there. Other people's work is there. Go learn. Go learn. Care for truth and morality deeply enough to learn. Get over yourself. Let go of your attachment to yourself. Stop holding on to bullshit beliefs. Think properly. Learn how to think. So no, I don't like to repeat. And yes, I do expect people to go through my other material and not expect me to repeat everything over and over and over again, and not expect me to repeat things, not expect me to explain things in a text message on Facebook or anywhere else. I've already done the work. I'm not going to keep repeating it to people individually. I work on a one-to-many relationship. One work, many people can access it through the internet. If we were a few hundred years ago and there wasn't, we wouldn't be able to write books where a one-to-many relationship could happen, where we have to physically take our bodies in a one-to-one relationship in every aspect of our lives, where I have to speak one-to-one to every single person that I want to influence. If I was in that time, then I would have no choice but to do that. But right now, we have many technological aspects where we can maximize our efficiency to describe reality by a one-to-many relationship where I can express things once, and then millions of people can access that one expression stored in digital media, and they can learn what I taught, and I don't have to keep teaching it to one person at a time. All right, that's enough of a rant on how I view teaching and learning, because no one ever came to teach me. There are teachers. Everyone's teaching out there. But no one, you don't go to people individually and teach them. They don't want to drink the water. Some people might. So yes, we do have to take the information to people. But they need to want to learn. So the one-to-many, the media I recorded, well, if you want to learn, go learn it. I'm not going to repeat thousands of hours of information that I've already done just because you don't want to go through my information and you happen to be in a physical presence with me and asking me questions. You think I'm going to repeat every single thing I've ever done? I'll say some things to try to get you to care for truth. I'll put some pressure on you and some conflict and some tension with truth and morality that you don't want to face to get you to shatter your mirror of falsity and actually look at yourself honestly rather than look at yourself as a projection of falsity where you can't see yourself honestly. No, I need the conflict, the tension, and the interference, and I'll try to shake you awake with a catalyst so that you can actually care to go learn on your own rather than be a dumbass. But don't expect me to spoon-feed you and teach you everything on a one-by-one basis. I will teach and do spoon-feeding of concepts that are required in a one-to-many, as I'm doing in audio and my text, but I will not do that on a one-to-one basis. I've already done it through a digital means. So go learn it in a digital means, and I'm not going to do it one-to-one-to-one-to-one. That would take up my whole life. You know what I'd be able to put online? Nothing. There would be nothing online if I was doing that on a one-to-one basis. All right. I know I said I'd stop my rant, but there was another rant, so that's the end of that one. So we're going to go on. It seems bearing, not bearing back, but bearing, carrying forever, to tolerate, and balance are related. Balances carry things, but do they carry them forever? So previously I went into an elaboration on that before I get into my pre-existing recorded explanation. So scale, from scala, which is a ladder or staircase. So what was I just talking about in terms of rebirth, levels, grades, graduation, degrees? That's a ladder where you're climbing. If you're not aware of this, go look at previous infographic and audio video presentation on truth, natural law, heaven and hell Bible symbolism. And again, the heart with the desire and care and actions and deeds of a lower consciousness in creating evil and falsity. Well, you're at the bottom of the ladder and you need to climb up. So the scale, again, the balance, when we have our hearts in the feather, it's all about measuring ourselves, comparing ourselves so that we can climb the ladder and evolve consciousness. Imagine that. You see how amazing etymology is and how it describes reality? But you're not going to see it just by looking at the words. You need to engage in symbolism, in imagery. You need to put words as images in your mind and correlate them and correspond them and see how they reflect reality and how they interconnect in describing reality. Because that is the purpose of words and language. That is what they are intended to do. You have to understand what language is for, why it was structured, and how it functions in relation to reality and how it corresponds to reality and how it reflects reality. And if you don't, well, most of the time, well, that's 99.999% of people, and they get manipulated by language. And then you have people who view language as a negative and all these new age bullshit, how language is bad and a negative and keeps us enslaved. No, that's the negative aspect, because you're a fool, because you don't understand language. I'm not manipulated by language as much as I was. I'm sure I still am in some parts, because I don't know everything about every freaking word in existence. But I've removed a lot of the conditioning and mind control and brainwashing through the occulting of language and words, and now I understand more of the words, and therefore I understand more of reality. Evolve consciousness is through understanding reality. You want to not understand reality and think you're going to evolve consciousness? Well, keep lying to yourself. That's why learning is important. You don't want to learn? You're not going to understand about reality, and you're not going to evolve consciousness, and you're going to stay at the bottom of the staircase on the dual checkered board floor, living as a carnal, beastly, animalistic, fleshly, low base consciousness, engaged in the pleasure trap and in lust of the pleasure trap and in lust of lusting over personal survival and my freedom, my survival, satanic aspects of living, and just lusting over getting what you want, your base desires, your carnal, fleshly desires. It's not always related to the pleasure trap or sex or things like that. It's just low base desires, controlling other people, other things like that. Alright, so scale from the ladder, staircase, succession of series or steps, which is a later meaning, but originally it's split and divide, to cut, cleave, or split. Now, I it's hard to keep track of all the etymological work I've done, but I know I've done this in a later work on axioms and existence and consciousness, I think, if not in tracing reality. Having to do with how we uncover reality through conscience, sier, which is the root word for to know, from which conscience, science, all those words come from. Apparently, this relates to nature, because nature apparently comes from nations, or genere, which relates to knowledge, and generation relate, and we can see that in nature, and nature as a generation, and nature as what contains existence and reality, which is representative of truth level one. So nature and reality are linked. And so to know reality, to know nature, to know siere is to split and divide things in nature, to look at things from in distinction from one thing to the other. That's why there's a identity as a law of the universe as part of logic, non-contradiction. If things contradict, then the identity is broken and it's not logical. So we have the multiplicity, diversity, and variability of everything in existence, nature, reality, and the universe. And that would be nature level one, just the bare things in nature. And so the multiplicity, variability, diversity allows for identity, because things are divided, things are split up. They're cut, cleaved, and split from one thing to the other. They're not the same. Only the one, the all, is the same. In order for the all and the one to create everything else, you know, conceptually in this theory, the speculation, well, it had to divide itself. It keeps dividing and dividing and dividing. And that's how you get multiplication, is through division. I have an article on that as well, a little post on multiplication through division. Okay. And related to scale is Libra. So we have Libra, literally pound, balance, from the Mediterranean base Lithra, a scale. So that's why Libra in the horoscope is a scale. That's why they added the symbol for Libra, at least in the reconceptualized version of the astrological wheel that was later developed, and as I view it, as I should be able to show in the future in my later work how it's been altered. So the Libra scale, they added that as a symbolism because that's where they put the line. So I'm just mentioning that Libra has a scale because of where they put it in terms of the zodiacal wheel, that it was the dividing line, so hence the scale. Maybe it's the also relates in terms of the months of the year. No, because then, never mind, I didn't say anything there about the months of the year. So it relates to scale because of the position on the zodiac wheel, which I think might be wrong. I still have to look into that more, relating to the work I'm doing on natural law right now, and symbolism, as it relates to reality, and the natural processes, and the four elements. Anyways, that'll be an interesting presentation once it gets done. To continue, we have a tangent, bear, carry, balance, scale. We can scale up a ladder, which is to climb, to go up, which is like extol. When we extol is something's bared up, bared above us, and carry up, well, we can carry ourselves up as well when we climb up the ladder. We can scale up a ladder. So climb up a ladder, to scale up a ladder. So the scale, that's why the scale is referred to as a ladder as well, because so if you scale up a ladder, you climb up a ladder in that term, but a scale and a balance, and a scale in terms of, it has other root in etymology and history as well, because you have scales from reptiles and the dragon bloodline, and then you have seashells, which are scales, because shell and scale come from the same root, and skull, and skull caps, and then you had the ancient Scythians and Phrygians and people over there from the close to the Black Sea basin, where a lot of the alleged historical source for the conflicts of the dragon bloodline come from. And you had people who there's a lot of tales about this, people who would drink from blood from the skulls, from human skulls, and they would drink the blood of their enemies. This is how demented some people are, and that's where skull and the scale and the skull cap. And anyways, this is research I've done 4 or 5 years ago that I hardly remember, relating to the dragon bloodline and scale. So I just interjected with that, but don't pay too much attention to it because it's very fragmented in my mind. But it relates to scale and scales, fish scales, reptile scales, dragon bloodline, skulls, seashells. Anyways, so we have proportions, ratios, relations, etc. What we are already talking about has to do with parts and divisions into parts. So we have, again, proportion. Proportion comes from part. So we're talking about proportions, ratios, it's parts. And how do you get parts? Well, you have to divide things. You don't have parts without division. A one, an all, isn't a part. It's one thing. And then when you divide it, and then you get more parts. So scale is rooted in split and divide. Again, scale, split and divide. Why? Because again, we're dealing with ratio and comparison of things and proportions. Again, proportions and parts and divisions. See how it all relates? It's pretty fascinating and amazing, I have to say. When you look into etymology to uncover reality, it's amazing. Scale is related to balance and carry, a bear with the tele root, relating to tolerance, just so we don't forget. So I was just reminding people of these words. So now we're looking at balance. So balance, scales for weighing, bilancia, from late Latin bilanx, whatever, from the Latin libra, bilanx. So again, you see, where Libra and balance and scale relate. They're all related in etymology. So Libra, Latin Libra, bilanx, scale, having two pans, because you have bilanx. So the bi and the lanx was the pans. And the bilanx is So two pans because by, which is twice. Everyone usually know bicycle, two, twice. And lanx means dish plate or scale. So two scales. That's why a balance is two scales. And you can see libra. I don't see why it's there. From Latin, libra, bilanx. Anyways, libra apparently is related to bilanx. Maybe bilanx is lie banks, so you switch around the bi and the la, so libra instead of bi la, maybe it was just a reversal like that. I didn't look into it more, but it's in there in the etymology, and you can see it in the description. Bi, two, and lanx, a dish or plate, which is what you use as a scale when you use a balance. You have one plate or one dish, and then you have another plate and another dish, and that's how the scale works, that's how the balance works. So that's where the balance comes from, is from bilanx, because there was two things. So again, proportion, ratio, comparison, judging, discernment. Judging is part of reality. All the New Age retards who want to be against judging, they don't understand the simplest basis of reality, which is judgment. That's what the mind is for. Discerning the variability, multiplicity, and diversity. And guess what? Everything's divided in reality. That's what it is. It's not all one thing. There's only that's at the deepest level of the source, origin, prime, causal, cause is one thing. Everything else is not one thing. Everything else is divided aspects, many different things. That's what variability, multiplicity, and diversity in existence is. It's many, many different things. All right. So back to balance, the meaning general harmony between parts is from 1732. So this understanding of general harmony between parts and, oh, life's about balance and life's about harmony, well, that's from 1732. It's a later impositional word. So understand the root meaning first, and then you can understand how the later conventional meaning was added. So general harmony between parts, as I said, yeah, some aspects you do want to balance. You want to balance the symbolism of the left consciousness and right consciousness modalities, what Mark Passio refers to as left brain and right brain. You want to balance those. You want to balance the quote heart and the quote mind. You want to balance your heart with truth. You want to balance your actions with truth. You want to balance your perceptions with truth. So there is valid aspects of harmony where you're trying to create an equilibrium between two things. That's when it's valid, because there's actual valid balance. And then there's invalid balance, where you're blindly applying correspondences that don't apply, because you don't understand dualistic conceptual frameworks. And this would be the case in good and evil. You don't understand that it's a dualistic conceptual framework, and you're going to try to balance the two, because you're a New Ager who doesn't even know how to think for yourself. You don't even know how to think about reality. All right, so a balance is used to equate two things, or measure them if ratios are known, in the angle. I think I just added angle just to mean to when you measure things, you can measure ratios of angles too. You don't. It's not necessarily two things that have to be on a balance. You know, you can measure angles, there's other things you can measure in ratio and compare and proportions. But we don't want to equate good and evil with the same weight and measure in a horizontal harmony. No, we want a harmony and stillness that is not horizontal in measure, but is angled as far as possible towards the good. So here, and it's a different way of understanding it, you can look at it as harmonizing your actions with truth and morality so that they're in balance. But if you're looking at it as in terms of good and evil with weight and measure, well, you don't want to measure, you don't want to align yourself in harmony with the balance of good and evil. No, you want to understand that evil weighs you down and good lifts you up, and you want to go towards that upward angled as far as possible towards the good, towards that, just like in the unity and morality graph, where to get unity, freedom, and truth, unity, freedom, and peace, it depends on truth and morality. So the more you go up in truth and morality, the more you go up in freedom, peace, and unity. That's because the good lifts you up. So in that respect, you want the scales to be tipped to one side. You want to be on the side of good and not on the side of evil. So when you're looking at hearts and good, yes, heart, desire, care, actions, deeds, and then the truth, morality, good, yeah, you want that to be balanced. You want to be in harmony with it. You don't want to be weighed down by the evil and be in disharmony with the good. But if you're looking at it in a different way, if you're looking at good on one side and evil on the other, well, that you're not there as a heart. You're looking at it as good and evil, as the two polar opposites. Then you yourself do not want to simply balance out good and evil and harmonize with that. No, you want to recognize that, yeah, evil weighs you down, so it's going to be down on one side, and the good weight lifts you up. And you want to align with the one going up towards what's in the sky, the air, the light. And what's in the sky and the air is light. Air is light, and the light of the sun is in the air as well. So there's more correspondence of our language and how... Anyways, you'll see it when I get to the four elements and how the zodiac is most likely misrepresented because they do not mirror reality properly. When you understand how the process of nature works with the four elements, then you'll see how probably the zodiac wheel, as later derived, as opposed to its original foundation thousands and thousands of years ago, maybe if they're into Atlantis times or whatever, pre-civilizations, pre-existing civilizations that were destroyed. You know, there's many possibilities, and we don't know shit about the history, but the knowledge came from somewhere, and I view it as being bastardized and distorted, because we can all look at reality and see how it relates to things and understandings and symbolism. And then you can reconstruct an understanding of reality that's more accurate than the distorted and bastardized symbolism that was changed from the original pure symbolism from long, long ago. Because that's what happens. You want to control people? Yeah? You want to control them? Control how they understand reality. Control their sense of reality, and you will control people. So how do you control people's sense of reality? Well, you control the symbols they use to communicate about reality, the symbolic references to reality. And whether they're pictorial symbols, as originally devised to represent reality, or a later abstraction of lines and curves, curvy lines, to impose a certain meaning upon this new symbol created. You control the meaning of the symbol and restrict the application to reality and mold it in a certain frame to mirror reality and falsely mirror reality, then you're going to control people's understanding of reality. So that's why they alter symbolism. That's why they alter the ancient teachings, so that people do not understand reality and themselves more accurately. So when I break down the four elements, you're going to see how we've been deceived and how likely the astrological information we use is erroneous. Even though it can be valid as its own symbolic network, because you can take symbols and rearrange them into another model that you want. But I'm talking about the original model as it reflects nature originally through our eyes that we can see and understand. That would be the original model. And you can take that original model and change it to mean something else and describe different things in reality, different abstract ways. But I'm talking about the original one you can see through nature and how it models ourselves and our understanding of ourselves. You never balance good and evil literally, only relationally. So that's why there's the good and evil spectrum, where things are in relation to each other along that spectrum. Because everything's related to everything else in diversity, multiplicity, and variability of what's divided in nature, in reality. Everything is apart from everything else. That's the way things are in reality. Get over it. A lot of pseudo-spiritual New Agers, all they can bear is their feel-good attachment to false unity, false oneness, and false connection. So whenever they hear things like, oh, things are divided in reality, Oh, that's you're in duality thinking. No, I'm in realistic thinking, you morons. I see reality as it is, and I know actually what oneness and unity and connection is. I don't lie to myself over and over to, because I want to desperately feel those things. I want to be in that modality. No, I understand when they're going to happen and how they happen, and each of our responsibilities to make it happen. It doesn't just happen because you want it to happen. There are requirements to create true unity. There are requirements to create true freedom and peace. What are those requirements? Truth and morality. Very simple. It's not just, oh, some truth and some morality. I'm just going to go with this little bit of morality. I'm just going to not murder people and not rape them, but I'm going to assault them and steal from them. Well, sorry, that's not good enough. So what is good enough? Well, it's this thing called moral foundation and the moral baseline. What is the true depth of morality? And then when you reach that point, that's when you can create true unity, true freedom and peace with others also at that level of the moral baseline and the moral foundation, and not before that time. So get ready for a lot of patience and get over your quick fix dopamine rush of the new things happening, and you want your satisfaction and your desires to be met. Well, get a little more patient and learn that you're going to have to tolerate things and then send them back in order to fix things, rather than just be ignorant of how you're creating the evil, the immorality. You got to learn and work on yourself and then help others do the same. When we use a balance, we set two things on scales to compare their relative measurements. So again, relation, measurement. We measure one thing to see its relation to another thing measured. We can measure good in comparison to evil, and we can discern between the two. We are not to balance good and evil in our lives in a literal sense. You relate good to evil so that you can come to know them in greater degrees in order to end slavery and create freedom. That's why there is a balance between the knowledge of good and evil, to know the two so you can know the difference. That's why you can apply the dualistic conceptual framework accurately and where things fit in between that spectrum, because you have good and you have evil and you understand the differences. You understand you have a balance between good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil is what you're balanced on. You have knowledge of good and you have knowledge of evil. You don't just have knowledge of evil to create evil. You don't just have knowledge of good to create good and be ignorant of the evil. You have knowledge of both to have an accurate understanding of reality and where things are in reality. You do not literally balance evil and good and engage in them both equally. That is pure folly. The verb of active balance is to bring equal horizontal balance, not uneven. So the angle part was just in reference to how we can be proportional to angles, and how if there is an angle, like if you look at a graph, and especially in terms of evil weighing you down and good weighing lifting you up, morality lifting you up, and you can see even in a balance, if you did take good and evil, well, then you could learn to go that it's not about a horizontal balance in terms of good and evil, because those are polarities. Polarities you don't want. You can understand them in terms of a horizontal scale, but in terms of a direction, where you can tilt the scale diagonally to understand that where you want to go is to the right side, the right hand of God, which is up. So if you tilt the scale, make it a diagonal, then you'll understand, yeah, the right hand of God is going up, the right hand of good. And if you don't, and then therefore the left side, the left hand of evil, the left hand of God, in a symbolic sense, which isn't God, but it's ourselves, we do it all to ourselves, but symbolically, the right hand and the left hand. Either you follow truth, or you face the consequences. Either you do right, you be right, or you go wrong. That simple. So, left hand, and it's symbolized by evil, and it's downward. So that's, you can tilt the scale rather than look at it horizontally. But here I'm taking the verb of active balance is to bring equal horizontal balance. When you're talking about an active balance, you're looking to align with something, so it's a horizontal balance, not an uneven one. It's an equilibrium. When we balance and equalize our perceptions of reality with how reality actually is, or our conceptions of reality, so that our perceptions are representative of reality. Well, that one is an equilibrium. You want to harmonize them together. It's a forward and reverse actions are the same. There is no forward or back, no reciprocity. You don't want to go back and forth in the balance. Back to the evil, back to the good, back and forth. You don't want a reciprocity that way. There is no carrying back to. There is carrying, bearing it, not bearing it back. It is a no net change stillness in terms of if you were doing this works when you're doing the valid kinds, left and right, mind and heart, etc. As I've already mentioned, this is a valid kind of balance where you're not carrying back things, you're not bearing back. There's no net change. It's a stillness. It's a harmony, right? But is that what we want to do with evil? Is that what we want, a no net change, a stillness, to not bear it back, to keep bearing and carrying the evil? Well, to balance, bear, and carry the evil without any rechanneling and reorganizing to change the condition of evil and work to remove evil that exists. Is that what we want? To just balance, bear, carry the evil, no rechanneling, reorganizing, just don't remove the evil, let it exist? No, that is not how reality should work as free will causal agents under natural law. We are natural law causal agents of reciprocity and redress. The balance needs to move, not stay still. So that's why invalid balances where we need to harmonize things, our hearts, desires, care, action, and deeds, yes, harmonize with morality. Left and right, yeah, harmonize those. Harmonize the heart and the mind, quote heart and the quote mind, yes, harmonize those and create a unity. But when you're looking at good and evil, you do not want a balance. You do not want a harmony in action of good and evil. The balance needs to move, not stay still, when there is evil in our midst. We need to push back, to carry back, to bring back the energy, the force that was sent against us. So if you're not creating the evil yourself, if the evil is being affected upon you, then you still have the right to reciprocate and redress the wrong, to terminate the, to send back the evil and extinguish the source. That's why you can put pressure on people and send back. You can do an eye for an eye in certain cases. That is totally valid. In order to send back the evil and prevent it from happening, because the way people are going to learn not to do the wrong is when the wrong is done back to them. That's the simple balance of natural law. Now, there are other laws that we can use. You can have the law of mercy, and you don't have to send back what someone sent to you. There's a lot of laws in application that we can change, but cause and effect is a basic one. The only ones that can use other laws that aren't part of standardized machinations in reality, you know, a rock falls and it hits the water and the water forms ripples. Well, that's cause and effect, and you can't stop that ever. The water is not a causal agent. It's not a free will causal agent that can choose, hey, I'm not going to create ripples for that rock because I got free will. No, only free will causal agents can choose to do things differently according to different laws other than the base prime ratio of cause and effect. But the base prime ratio of cause and effect is someone punches you, you can punch them right back. Bam. There's balance. You sent evil back. Now they know, oh shit, that's what it feels like to get hit. I don't want to hit someone else anymore because now I know what it feels like to get hit. You understand? You got to send the evil back when it's sent upon you. But when you create it, well, someone else is going to send it back to you. And you got to remove it from yourself. So you create plus one evil, it goes on to someone else, it affects them. Well, they're going to send it back to you as a minus one for your plus one to cancel out, and you're supposed to take that minus one and then remove it from yourself. Once you connect with reality, you connect with other people, you understand that it's wrong, you understand morality, then you can go within take their sending back of the sword of truth of minus one, hitting back your creation of evil of a plus one, and you take their sword of truth, and you bring it into yourself, and you chop yourself up, and you remove that evil, and then the force of evil that you created, the plus one, will be gone because you will no longer be creating evil. But if you keep hitting people, and no one hits you back, and you never learn your lesson, you're going to keep being an abuser, you're going to keep creating evil in the world, people are going to keep suffering, and the scales are going to keep tipping towards evil as more evil is generated into reality, and no one's doing anything about it. Everyone's just tolerating it and bearing it and carrying it on their shoulders, and they're not sending it back. This is how natural law works, as a natural law, causal agent of reciprocity and redress. So the balance needs to move, not stay still when there is evil in our midst. We need to push back, to carry back, to bring back the energy, the force that was sent against us, and rechannel to tip the scales back into the side of good, which is the side we should and need to be on. We have to keep pushing the shit back, carrying it back, bringing it back, bearing it back, as long as the shit keeps, sorry, as long as the hits keep on coming, we can't only bear and carry them and take them without doing anything about it. You can't just be a doormat, an imbalanced feminine slave mentality where you just accept what's done and you keep bearing and tolerating evil and you never do anything about it. No, you have to stand up and send it back. You have to do something about the evil. Send it back and nullify it. That is reciprocity. That is inherent in cause and effect. That is cause and effect. Cause and effect is reciprocity. As I've been explaining this whole time, you know, this whole presentation, as I've said, all my work is about natural law and evolving consciousness. This is all about evolving consciousness and understanding natural law. Reciprocity is, that's why I call how we're supposed to live is a reciprocal system. The natural law reciprocal system, I don't know, I've mentioned it in one of my recent articles that I did an audio on. I guess I should go through my work and collect the terms that I've come up with and make them standardized. But it's a reciprocal, that's what it is. It's a reciprocal feedback system. We are natural law causal agents of reciprocity and redress within the reciprocal feedback system of reality. It's everywhere. The reciprocal feedback system is everywhere. It's inherent in reality. Now, the part that's specific to higher order consciousness is a specific aspect of cause and effect, which deals with morality. Because cause and effect is everywhere. The rock in the pond, well, there's not morality there, buddy. It's not a causal agent. It doesn't have free will. Only animals apply in that domain. Animals have free will. Animals have mobility. Animals have interactivity. Plants don't. Rocks don't. There's a certain level of complexity required in order for morality to apply. It's not everything in existence has morality applied. So we receive and get pushed. If we don't push back, The swings will keep coming and the force impact will build up pressure from all that abuse we carry and bear. So if you think of a pendulum and keep swinging, we don't keep swinging it back, right? So it's just a new pendulum every time, I guess. It keeps hitting us, boom. But we don't swing the pendulum back. We just keep it. So we get hit and that's it. We just get hit. So that's the situation we have now. We have falsity all around us and we simply let it continue. All the swings, all the hits just keep accumulating and we're never sending them back. Because that's a law, right? Seven hermetic laws, cause and effect is one of them. Well, within cause and effect is reciprocity of the pendulum. Rhythm. That's another law. Rhythm, the law of rhythm. So we are not engaging in the law of rhythm. We're ignoring the law of rhythm, which is inherent in cause and effect. We are not sending back evil because we are all cowards. We fear truth and morality. We ignore truth and morality. We have apathy for truth and morality, which means we don't care for truth and morality. So we're not learning about it, therefore we stay in ignorance. You have cowardice for truth and morality, and therefore you're lazy in truth and morality, and you don't live truth and morality. So you don't live in truth and morality? Yeah, you're not going to stand up for good and send back evil. You're not going to engage in cause and effect and reciprocity to send back the rhythm of evil back to evil, to nullify its force. See, we're not living according to the ways we're supposed to be living in order to create good, because we have been engineered into cowards to do nothing. Because we're taught, oh, using force is violence. No, violence is violence when it's a violation of a right. When you use force, it's a force. When you use force to put down violence, it's not violence. You have physical acts that can create harm. And I don't care what Mark Passio says about boxing and UFC. Those people are idiots. And, well, he agrees with that, that you're damaging your mind, but that it's not violence. So, well, it is violence. You're causing harm. That two people agree to self-inflict harm upon each other? Well, I'm allowing harm. Well, it's not a natural law violation level one, which is self, which is harm to others. So you're agreeing to allow that, but it's still a natural law violation level two, which is harm to yourself. If you think harming yourself is for the forward progressive evolution of the will of creation, then you're a fool. Yeah, that's what the will of creation wants. It wants us to destroy ourselves by harming ourselves. Yeah, right. It only cares about if you're harming other people. Well, no, it doesn't care in that sense, but in the will, does it want you to harm yourself? No. Is that going to progress the will of creation? No. Let's all harm ourselves. Let's take it from the one to the many to know if it's really applicable in natural law. Let's all harm ourselves and never evolve in consciousness. Oh, yes, that's what the will of creation wants. I forgot. Oh, no, it's not what it wants. It doesn't want self-harm. It's just the greater harm is harm against another. Level one, natural law of violation. Level two is when you harm yourself. So if two idiots agree, oh, yeah, it's okay, you can harm me and I can harm you, ho, 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 it's still a violation of natural law, just a lesser violation than someone who doesn't agree to have harm done upon them. All right, I don't know how I got into boxing and shit for harm, doing harm to others. Anyways, to continue. So that is the situation we have now. We have falsity all around us and we simply let it continue. Oh yes, because we're cowards. So, we don't stand in truth and morality. I don't remember how I got into the boxing thing. Anyways, so the fact that most people are living in falsity, in a false conception of reality, and cannot see injustice and immorality clearly, does not excuse what we have let happen. So the fact that people live in falsity, in false conceptions of reality, they can't see injustice and immorality clearly, does not excuse the condition that we're actually in of falsity, false conceptions, injustice, and immorality. Just because they can't see it doesn't mean it isn't existing. It doesn't excuse it either. Oh, well, they can't see it. You know, forgive them for they know not what they do. Well, mange la merde, I don't give a shit. You're still doing what you do. That's all that matters, is what you do. Are you, oh, you're fooled? In The Giver, and you believe the way you live is good, so you keep living the way you live because it's good? Well, that's what we do now. You think that's a valid excuse? I don't care. It's either right or it's wrong, whether you know it or not. The difference is when you know you're doing wrong, you're actively engaging in dark knowledge and dark care and willingly creating evil into existence. And the lesser wrong is when you're unwillingly, you're doing it when you think it's good. So you're not knowingly creating evil, you're creating evil as though it was good, or you're creating evil under the excuse that it's a necessary evil in order for good to be promoted. So either way, in all cases, the action is still the same. It's just the reason, the causal motivation behind why that manifested is different. But again, you know, forces don't really care why you do something. There is no care in nature. It's programmed laws, and people want to believe in this New Age bullshit too. Oh, nature cares, and nature's so wonderful. No, we are the ones who have the eyes of the beholder who can see the beauty. Nature is cruel. You got ladybugs, you know, in my house. I give them water sometimes, little puddles of water, try to give them some stuff, but they're dying all over. There's animals and insects and everything's dying all over the place, eating each other up, and this is going to be in my future natural law presentation, but people have a very positivity mask delusion on nature, because they don't understand nature level one and nature level two. There's a lot of conceptual levels in what we understand, and we just want to blanket it into one conceptual understanding when the symbol we use, the word nature symbol, it has different levels of meaning, and you can't just use false equivocation all the time. Just like consciousness, it has, in etymology, consciousness relates to only animals. Now you can apply that to the source consciousness of all, the eye awareness and all that stuff. And then if you're going to try to equate that with the individuated consciousness that we are, well, then you're engaging in false equivocation. There's different aspects. There's the source, and then there's what's actually manifested in the here and now in the physical plane. All right, to continue. So balances do not carry and bear the forces in their scales, plates, cups, shells, skulls, etc. And the reason I added shells and skulls is, as I mentioned with the dragon bloodline, is because they are related. And if you go looking into the etymology, you'll find shells and skulls, and you'll see they're all related. Causal agents and cause and effect. Well, I had come to play and to play. I don't know. That was, I think, from Dragon Software. So I just corrected it. Causal agents and cause and effect interrelate. The balance is only at rest when there is no evil pushing against us. Otherwise, if the balance is at rest with evil, it means we are just taking it. So you got your head in the sand, ignoring the evil, because you don't want to look at the evil. You don't have knowledge of evil. You don't have the balance of the knowledge of good and evil. And you're just taking it up the ass. When we fight back, evil will fight back, and the scales will move in measures of force. When we reduce the force of evil, the force of good increases, and we tip the scale towards the good. Evil needs to be removed. The power of the falsity and negative outweighs the truth and positive when we try to join them, and therefore evil needs to be removed from true unity and harmony. Evil needs to be removed for true unity and harmony to occur, because evil and the negative and falsity outweighs truth, positive, and good when you're trying to join things together. You cannot join contradictory parts. This is a law of logic, non-contradiction. Unity is in non-contradiction. Please go look at my previous work on true unity is based in morality and foundational living and true unity, and you will understand that to more depths. With analogy, correspondence, correlation, discernment, diagnosis, assessment, judgment, analysis, etc., we can come to know reality in greater degrees of accuracy. We can form dualistic conceptual frameworks to understand certain aspects of reality that fit into those models of comparison. These are some words to help us perceive, conceive, understand, and navigate reality. Correspond, correlate, refer, etc. all had to do with carrying back after receiving a reciprocal motion, such as cause and effect are, which is the prime ratio of proportion. For each cause, there is an effect. Cause is related to effect. The recognition of this universal concept is corresponded in different parts of reality to confirm its existence, as some aspects of reality are analogous to other aspects. Analogous, analogy. And this is what I'm talking about, how in order to find truth, you always have to be grounded in reality. It always has to come back to parts of reality to confirm its existence, to confirm the existence of the universal. So how do we learn about good and evil? Well, they're confirmed in existence. They're actually grounded in reality. That's how we can verify that these things are. There's certain things that are, certain behaviors from causal agents, certain things that happen, and then we create words and describe these things, and they're diametrically opposed. Cause and effects, cause and effect correspond to each other in cause and effect correspond to each other in relational view of a dualistic conceptual framework, and they are inseparable pairs as well, representing one aspect in parts of rhythm and motion along a scale. So it has a rhythm and a motion along a scale. Carry back, bear back, bring back in correspondence is not the same for relational understanding as it is for literal comparison. So we have the relational understanding between good and evil, and then we have a literal comparison where you're going to compare like your heart's care, desires, deeds, and actions to good or to evil. Literal composition is to try to compose a unity of good and evil in attempted harmonious balance, which does not work. So the literal, when you're trying to compare literally good and evil, it doesn't work because it's only a relational understanding in terms of polar opposites. And things in reality fit in between the two polar opposites. They're never actually at one opposite or the other. So when you're trying to do a literal comparison between things that are not literal, that are relational, then you fail in your dualistic conceptual framework. The relational understanding is the dualistic conceptual framework that helps us understand one thing in relation to another. When the natural law causal agent is involved in the real world literal composition of reality in creation, we do not want evil present in our lives as it compromises the good we have and eats and erodes it away, slowly or fast. We need to be the ones pushing back. It is not a conceptual relational understanding where we let the two things correspond and correlate of their own accord through our observations and understanding of reality. We do not push back. Natural law does not do it for us. If we do not push back, natural law does not do it for us. We are the causal agents that engage in reality with free will. Natural laws operate as a program of order. It's a program. Nature is a program. That's it. It doesn't have care. Free will agents have care. Everything that enslaves us is created by us. We are the central causers, sowers, and creators of evil, and we will be the central reapers in the end if we do not change our ways. There is always a way out, the right way and path. There is always redemption for those who repent. We can tip the scales. We can rechannel, reorganize, and rebalance the world towards the good, in true balance of being towards all good, to the extreme of good. Truth is extreme in one way. We want to tolerate, extol, bear, and carry good, not evil. Seek, discover, align, harmonize, and unite with truth, love, good, right, morality, natural law, true self, higher will, etc. So we are the ones that do it all to ourselves. We've got to change our own ways. And there's always redemption for those who repent. And the only one that's going to make you change is yourself or another causal agent. That's it. Natural law will not make you change anything. It doesn't act upon you. It's our understanding of cause and effect as it applies to morality. That as we put out things, we get them back in return, cause and effect. But it's all us. It's just a law that exists, like cause and effect is a law. Well, that's all morality is. The natural moral law is just a cause and effect regarding our behavior. You punch someone, they can punch you back. It's that simple. So who's going to repent for, who's going to go in redemption and choose the right way and path? Well, it's up to the person who's doing the punching to choose to change, or the person who's being punched to reciprocate and get the other person to understand that they are engaging in evil and it's not right and they need to stop. So you can do redemption, but you have to repent. You can't make someone else be redeemed. The only person that can redeem is themselves. Because you have to repent. You have to be sorry for what you did. You have to repent. Cry. Let it out. All the guilt and shame for what you've done. I did it. All right, so thank you very much for listening to this etymological audio breakdown of a previous article I did on analogy balance and what's in between. As you can see, there's a lot of things in between. That's why I call this article analogy balance and in between, because when you balance things, well, there's an in-between mode. When you're analogizing, well, it's one thing to another, so there's always an in-between. Well, not if there's just two things, but, you know, since we're in, if you're looking at the dualistic conceptual framework in that terms of balance of ourselves, well, there's good and evil, and there's the whole universe of everything that exists in between. In between good and evil. And we, through our analogy of ourselves and aspects of reality with good, then we can come to understand more aspects of good and more aspects of reality as they embody good, etc., etc. Anyways, language is fascinating. You're the only one that can help you understand it more by going through processes of understanding reality and understanding how your own cognitive and consciousness processes work in order to understand reality itself. Because if you can't think properly, then it doesn't really matter what you're going to read. But hopefully, through reading, that will automatically also improve your ability to think through the material you read. So it's much more important to get quality material than quantity material. And you can learn naturally yourself how to think better by going through other people who've written stuff and learning. And that'll improve your own ability to learn. But you can learn specifically things like the Trivium Method, and that'll help you to understand already how your mind functions and how you process reality and how you generate in reality, etc. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you for your time and attention. Have a nice day. Take care. Peace.